Hello and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 110. I am your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
Hey, Nemecakes.
Howdy. We are back, of course, to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo, and there's nothing bigger in the world of Nintendo right now than the recent release of the Super NES Classic Edition. And so, because of that, pretty much this entire episode is going to be devoted to the Super NES Classic. So, Pete, I assume that you did pick up one of these things when it came out just a couple of days ago, right?
I did, and it was actually thanks to you.
Oh, wow, I'm amazed. I'm almost sorry I helped out my nemesis.
You should be sorry.
So I assume that means you ordered online?
Yeah, I ordered off of Best Buy at like, I think it was like 11 p.m. West Coast time. And
yeah, it was right around 10 o'clock West Coast time when it went live, yep.
So yeah, so it appeared, I placed my order and then got a email confirmation, told me that it would be shipping out on the, well, I'd be receiving it by the 29th. I actually got it a day early.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it came on the Thursday, the day before they were selling it, even at the World Store, which is kind of funny.
Wow, lucky. I did not get mine until the advertised date, but sure enough, I also got mine from Best Buy. It showed up on the 29th as advertised, and yep, there it was, right at my door. No real problems, and I was able to hook it up and start playing.
Nice.
It sounds like, you know, from most of the anecdotes I've heard, that things have gone a lot smoother than they did with the NES Classic. I mean, obviously, we had pre-orders to begin with, so there was that.
Yep.
And then it sounds like, you know, scalpers are not being able to sell them for quite as much of a hefty profit as they were last year.
Yeah, that's good.
And stores, it seems, got in a whole bunch more. Like the local Target here, you know, I kind of wanted to go out and stand in line, you know, in the wee hours of the morning like I did last year, but I just didn't really see the point. But the store near me got 110 systems.
Wow.
And so after they opened, I was like, well, I'm just going to go in here, check it out, see if they have any left. And so I went in about half an hour after they opened, and they were completely cleaned out. So wow. It seems like, you know, everybody who was standing in line or people that walked in right when they opened, just cleaned the whole store out. Yeah, 110 systems within 30 minutes. And I think that's pretty indicative of a lot of places. But hey, that's 110 systems. That's like double what they got of the NES Classic. So, you know, not so bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, and I think when you factor in that they also included the extra controller, I think that ends up being a lot more easy to make your purchase and not have to like hunt down a bunch of things and, you know, controller gouging was a real thing, I think, with the first one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I only ever saw one. It was the one that I bought after lining up overnight, and then never seen one ever again. Glad I didn't have to worry about that with the Super NES Classic. Of course, some people, it sounds like, did have problems. It seems that Amazon was up to all kinds of shenanigans when it came to pre-orders of the Super NES Classic. It sounds like they claimed that they oversold by, like, you know, tens of thousands of systems, and then instead of shipping them out to pre-order customers, they were, like, selling them from Amazon on trucks on the streets. It just sounds really ridiculous and not cool at all.
And kind of shady, really.
Yeah, very much so. So yeah, I feel bad for the people who did that, but I feel you know, good for, you know, the general public that just overall it was a better experience than it was last year. So, you know, Nintendo slowly but surely, you know, learning to make things better, I guess.
Yeah, do you think if you didn't manage to get one, do you think there's still a hope for you, or do you think you still have a shot?
Oh, at this point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. They say they're going to be continuing to deliver them, you know, every few weeks throughout the year. If you don't have one yet, I would definitely advise do not buy it from a scalper. There will definitely be more of these things out there. Yeah, people's chances are not shot. And, you know, they've even promised they're going to continue shipping them into next year, which, you know, they originally said was not going to be the case. But yeah, they're going to keep shipping these. So yeah, just keep an eye open.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we've got it. We've played it. What are our general thoughts? What do you think of the interface?
The interface is cool. It's not totally undifferent than the NES Classic.
Yeah, it's very, very similar, actually.
Yeah, in a good way. I mean, the NES Classic had a pretty cool interface as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the music is different.
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah.
As it should be.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's like this, like, kind of quirky I don't know. It almost reminds me of like Balloon Fight, like the.
It's definitely playing homage to some other game. I couldn't quite place it, but no, you're totally right.
Yeah, there is some like quirky little like almost sounds like an arcade attract screen. It's just kind of got this goofy chiptune little ditty.
Yeah, I can't quite place it, but I know if I thought about it for like 30 seconds, I'd be able to figure out exactly what it is. But yeah, it's got that you know, same similar lineup of games. You can sort it alphabetically by year, by publisher, etc. It's got, you know, similar graphical filters. You can put it in 4x3 mode. You can have it in pixel perfect mode, and then you can add CRT scan lines for that old school feel. Plus, there are frames in this version, which were not included in the NES Classic.
Right.
What do you think of the frames? Have you been using them?
I mean, they're kind of goofy, but I actually have found myself using one. I just have like the, looks like the old school like speakers on the both sides of your TV.
Huh, okay.
It's a little cheesy, but I don't know. I think it's kind of funny that like, I try to imagine some guy at NCL like drawing that. And it kind of makes me laugh, so.
I've been using the one that kind of looks like wood myself. But overall, I think the frames are pretty darn boring and kind of a missed opportunity. I wish there had been some more, you know, really Nintendo-y frames, you know, with game characters. Frames with Mario, frames with Link, frames based on the various games that are included. Seems like they could have done something like that.
Yeah, it does make you wonder why that is. I mean, they feel very generic. Like, they could just be, mm-hmm. like, random, like, screensavers from, like, your computer in 1990.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't feel like anything that screams, this is for the Super Nintendo.
But that's what makes me laugh about, like, just imagining some programmer or some designer, I guess, over at NCL just being like, oh, yeah, here, let me see what clip art is available.
Yeah, they probably could have done something a little bit more imaginative. Now, on the other hand, the controller, I think, turned out pretty darn well. It is pretty authentic. Of course, it comes with two controllers, as we were mentioning before, and it's got a decently sized cord, so you don't feel like you're literally tied to the machine like you did with the NES Classic. And it is still, you know, very responsive, and it reminds you of, you know, how great that Nintendo craftsmanship has been over all these years. If I didn't know any better, I would think, yes, this is really a genuine Super NES controller all the way from 1991. How's it treating you?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, it reminds you of, like, I remember back in the day, the Genesis controller versus the Super Nintendo controller. And I always thought...
it wasn't even a contest.
Yeah, well, personally, I always thought the Super Nintendo controller was a better grip.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it was that it just felt solid.
Yeah, the Genesis controller felt cheap and hollow.
Yeah, it felt like it had fluff inside of it or something.
Yeah, there was just no contest when it came to the D-pad or the control pad. Nintendo has had that nailed, you know, for decades.
Yeah, I can't complain. It, like, if I didn't know any better, I would think it was the exact same one.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the Super NES Classic continues to have suspend points like the NES Classic did, and now there is a rewind function. And once again, you have to exit to the main menu to be able to use these functions, and usually you do that by having to hit the reset button on the console. So, on the one hand, it's great that we have these longer controller cords so we aren't like tied to the machine. On the other hand, you still have to keep it close at hand if you want to use these functions because you have to reach over and hit that reset button if you want to make a suspend point. I mean, I suppose you could, you know, pause your game and walk across the room and do it, but that's not nearly as convenient. Have you been having any issues?
Yeah, it's definitely a little goofy. You know, it's funny. I remember that was sort of the response that I heard when people kind of complained about the NES Classic Link. Of the controller cord was like, well, you need to be near the system because you want to be able to, you know, hit reset and go back to the main menu. And I thought,
right,
kind of hogwash. But now after having tried it, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm like literally standing up and walking over to hit the reset button so I can like save my game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was kind of true.
Which seems kind of weird. But at the same time, you know, it's cool that it's there. I wish there maybe was like a button combo you could hit. Like if you press, you know, all four face buttons at the same time or something, then you get the same menu. But you know what? Honestly, it's a minor gripe.
Well, it definitely is. But it certainly would have been nice to have something on there. I mean, having a button combination, I think would be really odd to make sure there isn't something you would never press in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's great to have a 100% nearly authentic controller, but I wouldn't have minded if they had added an extra button, you know, for those functions on there. And, you know, you actually can hook up a classic controller for the Wii. And if you use that, you can press the home button and that brings up the system menu. So you can do things that way. However, that controller does have a shorter cord, and so then that kind of eliminates the the convenience of having that longer cord on the Super NES controller. So yeah, there's really no great solution.
I don't know if I'm impressed or weirded out that you know that.
Dude, this is Power Pros. We don't mess around. And of course, either way that you do it, you still have to load up your save by pressing the X button to use the rewind function, and that's just kind of clunky and awkward.
Yeah.
Like, I wish if you were using the Wii Classic controller, you could just use, like, the ZL and ZR buttons to rewind and fast forward and stuff.
Yeah.
But, no, there's no shortcut to that that I could tell.
Yep. That being said, I think that functionality is pretty cool, especially in, like, a licensed Nintendo product.
Yeah, you know, it definitely is.
It's something people probably expect from emulators. I don't know, I haven't used an emulator in a very long time, but being able to do that in a real Nintendo game under Nintendo's control is actually pretty amazing.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty shocking that it's in there at all. And the way they have it implemented, you know, sort of prevents you from just, you know, freely abusing it, which, you know, you don't want to do. You don't want to ruin your game by constantly rewinding every time you mess up.
Right.
That's not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I used it a little bit on Super Punch-Out when I got, forgot the guy's name, Jackie Chan or something.
Oh, Dragon Chan, the guy that kicks you in the face.
Yeah, I used that in Super Punch-Out. I lost to him and then I rewound it a little bit. And then I went back in after I had already knocked him down once because I knew I could do it, and sure enough, I beat him the second time. And of course, I could have just restarted and whatever, but it's There's something really gratifying about being like, oh, no, I'm just going to turn back time.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice when you just make a mistake, like, oh, I totally had that, and they can just, you know, fix that mistake.
Now, I didn't try it in different games. I read something about how that it's longer in certain games versus others.
Yeah, it seems in most games, it's about 45 seconds. But in the role-playing games, it seems to be about 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure why you need more time to go back in RPGs, but it's there. I have to say, though, it's kind of funny how the system uses your save states for the demos, because usually when I create a suspend point, it's usually after I finish a level or something. So the demos it brings up are usually really boring. It's like me getting a last hit in on a boss and then like awkwardly sitting on a map screen for like 20 seconds doing nothing. And you know, that just ends.
I mean, believe me, I used to play games with you at Nintendo Power, and it's pretty boring watching you play.
I'll bore a hole straight through your beard. It's actually encouraging me to just like make random suspend points in the middle of levels after doing something cool, because I know it's going to, you know, call it up when I have the attract screen just sitting there.
Yeah, I actually thought that was kind of a cool feature. I didn't expect that. That wasn't in the NES Classic, I don't think, right?
No, it was not.
So having that, I mean, it's kind of gimmicky and like not really a huge thing, but just being paused, all of a sudden I remember I stepped away from the console, came back, and sure enough, it was like some Super Mario World level that I'd been playing. Kind of a fun little Easter egg, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not going to complain that it's there. Of course, when it comes to the games, it has, you know, quite an excellent lineup of titles. And, you know, that's going to be our big topic we're talking about in just a little bit. We're going to have a countdown, going to rank all 21 games that are on the Super NES Classic.
That's right.
But, you know, in other regards, you know, putting that aside for a minute, any additional thoughts you want to say about the system?
Not much. I mean, I think, you know, one thing I noticed was that they actually updated the power supply, so it actually has a Nintendo Racetrack logo on it, and it's officially made by Nintendo. I think with the NES Classic, it was like a super generic, just like run-of-the-mill USB adapter, which is fine, but this one at least has Nintendo's logo on it and seems like just a touch more premium.
Yeah, I actually just left mine in the box because I don't have both my NES and my Super NES Classic hooked up, so I was just using the same one from last year, but that's kind of cool. That's a reason to dig it out and retire the old generic one. That's nice.
Although I do always marvel at the sticker on the USB cable that just says, when not in use, please unplug this.
Huh, I haven't seen that either.
And it always kind of freaks me out that, like, you know, is it just going to catch fire, or what are they warning me about?
Hey, what do you think this is? Some reissued Street Fighter II cartridge?
That's right.
But yeah, overall, the hardware design on this thing is really nice. I mean, it does look fantastic. It really does look like an adorable miniature version of a Super NES console. And, you know, it's got the same functioning power and reset buttons. You know, the front flips down so you can plug in those controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Does just, you know, look really, really fantastic. I mean, at least it's fantastic as the Super NES system goes. I mean, I'm not sure how well that design holds up overall, but as far as being a recreation of the original, it, you know, is quite excellent. And of course, you know, when you're playing this thing, you don't get any lag. I had no trouble with lag on my TV. You know, everything looks fantastic. I did have some sound issues at first because for some reason my TV was defaulting to some weird surround sound mode that made some tunes sound really wonky. I just went into the menu and fixed that and turned off that surround sound mode. But if anyone else is experiencing that same problem, know that it is probably your TV, not the hardware, and there probably is a way to adjust it.
Interesting.
Overall, I would say I am really happy with this purchase. I'm really glad I got it. I know there are other ways to get pretty much all of these games on, you know, some system that's newer than an original Super NES, but still having them all in one place, having all this stuff in such an easy to use compact format with two controllers included, it's really, really great. You know, if you have nostalgia for this stuff, you know, there is no reason to not get it if you're able to find one.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this is a, it's a package put together by Nintendo. It's very thoughtful. You can tell they just put a lot of thought into putting this together.
Oh yeah, it even comes with a really cool little poster in the box. Yeah, that's a nice little touch.
Yeah, so it definitely has this just like feel of like, oh, you know, warm and fuzzy, like what I remember from my youth. It's nice.
Yep, very much so.
I just hope it doesn't turn yellow after 20 years.
Yeah, definitely. That would definitely be nice if it stays this lovely shade of gray. You know, as cool as the system is, though, I have to ask, if you could just, you know, magically add 5 more games to the system, what would they be?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Chris. I mean, the ones that I'm noticeably missing would be, in no particular order, Pilot Wings.
Oh, yeah.
Chrono Trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat 2.
Hmm.
Final Fantasy 2.
Oh, yeah.
Or 4, as the kids say. And ActRaiser.
Ah, yes, another fine choice. Yeah, I definitely had some of those on my wish list as well. Mine would include ActRaiser, Chrono Trigger, Final Fight, Soul Blazer, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, Turtles in Time.
Wow, I like how you alphabetically sorted this.
I'm glad you appreciate that. I just did that in my head.
Nice.
Well, I suppose the only other thing we have left to discuss is all of these games that are on there and putting them into an order. But before we do that, let's take a little intermission, and then we'll come back and continue this discussion.
Sweet.
All right, we are back and we are ready to continue our discussion of the Super NES Classic Edition with our big topic for the week, which is the Super NES Classic Countdown. We're going to count down all 21 games and rank them in order. Of course, we're talking about the Super NES Classic here, which has quite an overall excellent selection of games.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we're putting something, you know, sort of low on this scale doesn't mean it's a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. Also, we did this completely scientifically. Me and Pete each made our list, and then we got into a fist fight to decide who would actually win.
Right. And then,
no, that's not true.
And then we had somebody judge our beards.
No, we actually combined them mathematically to come up with our unified list. And overall, I think we came up with some pretty reasonable results. Anyway, there's no reason to keep babbling about the procedure. Let's just jump right into it and start with number 21 on the list, which is Kirby's Dream Course.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, it turns out I have never played this game before. I did not realize that until I fired it up and played it on the Super NES Classic and checked this thing out. And, well, you know, there's definitely a learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when it seems like you've lined up what appears to be a perfect shot and you, you know, get all the meters to line up perfectly, it doesn't necessarily go where you think it's going to go. But still, it's a very cool and unique and different take on mini golf. And you know, I don't really think there's anything else like it on the system. So it's pretty darn neat.
Yeah, if you haven't played this game before, Kirby's Dream Course is kind of, as Hoffman mentioned, kind of a isometric mini golf game.
It very much is.
Kirby as a ball, basically.
Yes.
And it's super fun. It's quirky. It's not my favorite game in the world, but I also could totally see playing through it. Haven't played it to its completion, but I might actually now that it's on this console.
Yeah, I have not played it through to completion either. Just played through the first two courses. I believe that's 16 holes, but I look forward to seeing what else is in this game.
Yep.
Okay, moving on to number 20. Hey, look, it's Kirby again. It's Kirby Superstar.
Man, I feel like we're picking on Kirby.
Oh, yeah, I feel a little bad for the guy. Especially this one, you know, it combines 8 games into one. It's got a lot of variety. But then I guess, on the other hand, it's not nearly as polished as a lot of the recent Kirby games or as polished as the remake. But it does have tons of content, has a nifty 2-player mode, and lots of pink, cute, fun action going on.
Yeah, and this was the game that you mentioned last week, right, as being your choice of what you'd start with if you were going to jump into the Kirby franchise?
I picked the remake that was on DS, which was Kirby Superstar Ultra, and it's a little bit more polished and has a little bit more content than this one. However, this certainly is not a bad choice.
That's what I get for not listening to you.
I have to say, though, one thing that I do wish that were a little improved about this one is when you want to get rid of an ability. You know, you hit the button to try to dump your ability, but instead it seems like it always tags in a partner, and suddenly you've got a partner palling around with you. It's like, I don't necessarily want a partner here. Can't you just go away? And, you know, I guess you can, you know, hit the button a few more times and maybe get him to go, but it's odd that there's not just a quick and easy way to dump your power so you can suck up another one without having a partner helping you out. But whatever. That aside, still a very cool, nifty, fun little game that I'm glad is included in this collection.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, we had a tie for number 18 on the list, so that's why we're skipping number 19. So next, we've got Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is a classic from Capcom, and boy, all this time later, it is still as hard as heck.
Yeah, this series in general is really, really hard.
Yeah, it's a very tough series, but at least on the Super NES Classic, you can use the suspend states, and you can take advantage of that rewind and make it a lot more manageable.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if you don't, it's still really fun. It's fun getting your butt kicked by werewolves and zombies and all crazy manner of ghosts. It's got a really cool soundtrack.
Yeah.
And who knows, maybe for once I'll actually be able to play through the entire thing from start to finish now that it's on here.
Right. And it really is one of the best soundtracks in gaming, I think.
Yeah. The entire Ghosts and Goblins series has some excellent music. So I'm certainly with you there.
Good stuff.
Also tying for number 18 comes Yoshi's Island. And I have to say, it is really awesome to be able to play this game again in its original form rather than the Game Boy Advance port.
Right.
You know, it's got fantastic art direction. You know, it's a style pretty much like nothing else out there. And let me be honest with you, I am really glad that on the Super NES game select screen, they have dropped the Super Mario World 2 moniker. Because
yeah,
to be honest, I don't feel like it ever belonged there to begin with. Yeah, they just totally ignored it. It's there in the box art, but when it comes to the actual title, the alphabetical list, it's not there. And I say thumbs up to that.
Yeah, it really in no way feels like Super Mario World 2.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was probably a decision made to move some units, but
yeah, I think so.
But that being said, it's still a great game, and it's you know, it's nice to be able to play it on your TV again.
Yep, very, very much so. Glad it's back.
Yeah, although I'm not sure which I hate more, you crying or the baby Mario.
I'll leave you crying if you don't knock it off. On to the next one, number 17, possibly the most interesting game on the Super NES Classic, Star Fox 2.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because it's not readily available right when you turn it on.
Right. You have to unlock
But
it.
the requirement is very, very low. Yeah, it's really
That's
not much
true.
of a requirement at all. It's just like, hey, turn on the game and play it one level.
Yeah, you have to play through the first level of Star Fox 1, and then you can play Star Fox 2. And I have to say, we weren't even sure if we should include this game on this countdown list because it's so dramatically different from the other games that we're talking about as far as its situation goes. We've been playing the other games for like 20 plus years that we've been able to enjoy them for all this time and think about them and decide where they go on this list. And this one we've only been able to play for a couple of days. So right now it's ranked at number 17. Maybe after we play it a little more, we'll decide, oh, it belongs higher on the list or it belongs lower on the list. But for now, this is where it is. So tell me, what do you think of this game so far?
It's interesting. It's really not like the original Star Fox almost at all, except for the looks and sort of the controls, I guess.
It changes a lot of things. I was surprised too.
Yeah, in a way, I'd almost describe it as a little bit more arcade feeling. You kind of have these bite-sized levels. It takes a page out of, I think it was Star Fox Assault on Nintendo DS.
You're thinking of Star Fox Command, probably, which had those real-time strategy elements. And yes, this one has a lot of that. I was surprised because I'd heard that a lot of the content that was used in this game went into Star Fox 64, and that's true, such as the enemy characters. But yeah, just this whole strategic element and this world map with all this stuff going on is really reminiscent of Star Fox Command.
Yeah.
And I was really amazed to see this is, probably where that originated from.
Right. And if you haven't played that, it's basically, the game is a little bit, well, it's totally non-linear. You basically get to decide where you go on this little universal map. And you have to, advance towards Andross. Spoiler alert. And meanwhile, there's missiles and enemy ships coming in, and it actually tells you
Yes, Corneria is under attack.
and it tells you the health of Corneria. So basically, you have to keep an eye on that while you're also trying to advance and take out more and more levels. That being said, there aren't that many levels. I was really shocked at, like, each round you could almost get through, in maybe a minute or two at tops. There were some
Well, you're
levels.
just fighting off the enemy missiles, the enemy fighters. Yeah, you can get through those really quickly. When you're liberating a planet, those take a little bit longer. But yeah, some of the stuff is really short.
Yeah, no, even the planets or the ships didn't even remind me of remotely the length of like the original Star Fox, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
It just has a different feel to it.
Definitely so.
And then there's also the, of course, you can morph into the Walker. I can't remember the actual name of the ship that you become, but your R-wing essentially turns into this little land walker. And I gotta be honest, the super effects chip emulation going on here is a little leaves a lot to be desired. There's definitely some
Really?
slowdown. There's definitely some. Oh yeah,
No, I think it's actually emulating it pretty much perfectly. That's probably exactly how it would have been
well.
back in the day.
I guess that's the problem, is that it's almost too good. So it's like, man, this is jerky and slow, and then
Yeah, we'll talk about this more when we get to Star Fox 1, but yeah, the frame rate leaves a little bit to be desired, as does the polygon shading, and by that I mean there really isn't any. Yeah, sometimes it can be kind of hard to see what's going on.
And I also just, this game's begging for an analog stick, and it's kind of sad that it was locked before Nintendo had invented that, so.
But regardless of that, it's a really cool concept. It's got some really, forward-thinking ideas,
It does.
and it's also just really, really cool that we're able to play this lost classic. Before we move on, I did have one other question for you. What do you think of the new characters, Mayu and Faye?
They are very forgettable, but it's all right. I mean, it's kind of fun to see new lore available in the Star Fox universe, so.
I kind of like them. I like their designs. I think they're pretty cool, and I think Nintendo should bring them back in a future Star Fox installment, should we ever get one.
Or a future Smash Brothers?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know if I go that far yet, but I think they're certainly worth bringing back. Who did you use if you didn't use them? Slippy?
I had to use Slippy.
Makes sense.
Slippy's my homeboy.
He looks very angry in the art they've made for him. Very angry indeed.
Fox, I'm so angry!
All right, on to the next one. Number 16 is Secret of Mana.
Hmm.
This action RPG is absolutely gorgeous. I think it's one of the best-looking games on the Super NES Classic. It's kind of too bad there's no three-player mode. And I have to say, it probably would have ranked better on this list if it were not for how close your character has to get to the edge of the screen before you scroll it. Man, I was just constantly walking into enemies that would just sort of appear out of nowhere because I couldn't really see them standing, 12 inches away from me. Other than that, though, it's a really cool game.
Yeah, I have to wonder, do you think the functionality of three-player is in there? So if I had, a splitter for the controller, do you think it would work?
I wonder. I think the functionality is still in there, but I guess it would be up to somebody to create some sort of peripheral and see if there is a way to, attach a third controller. I think that's what the question is, if it's in the hardware. It's definitely still in the software.
Yeah.
It would be nice to be able to play that. I mean, the odds of me actually getting three friends together to play this thing are astronomically low, but it would still be cool to give that a try once again.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, next, coming in at number 15, we have the original Star Fox.
Nice.
And, as we were alluding to earlier, boy, this tech is kind of dated. And by that, I mean really dated. We're talking about, some atrocious frame rates, no textures on the polygons. I mean, even back when it came out in 1993, I was not particularly impressed. I remember when it first came out, I was thinking, boy, these polygon graphics might be cool someday, but not now. Anyway, I don't want to sound too down on it. Despite the fact that the technology is obviously super old, it is still remarkably fun and really great that we're finally able to play this game, because it's never been on virtual console or anything. But yay, now we can finally blow away these clunkily animated untextured polygons once again from the comfort of our couches.
Yeah, and I really miss the animals talking, where it's just like blah, blah, blah.
You mean in the newer Star Fox games? Because that is in this, and Slippy's got that crazy deep voice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, what?
And Falco's always talking about his wing damage or whatever it is.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, it's a great game. It's fun to be able to play it again.
For sure.
And like you, I was totally shocked at how dated it kind of looks. But I'm sure it is pretty accurate to the original, if not one-to-one. So,
well, it just goes to show how far technology has come.
Indeed.
Okay, next on the list, at number 14, we have chosen Donkey Kong Country. As we were talking about not too long ago on the Favorite Platformers episode, this is one of my favorite non-Mario platformers out there. It's just got a great rhythm to it. I love the way you just, can bounce from enemy to vine to barrel.
Yep.
And, just blast through the levels like that. Really, really enjoyable.
And this is the only rare game in the collection.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting.
Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, most of their games, can't be put on Nintendo systems due to Microsoft owning them, but obviously Nintendo will always and forever own the Donkey Kong Country series.
Right.
So it makes sense. It makes sense. One word of warning, though, I would definitely play this one on CRT mode. Mm. The pre-rendered graphics, in my opinion, are kind of ugly when you can see all the pixels.
Yeah.
And, don't really hold up in high definition. But if you play it the way it was originally meant to be played, where this stuff kind of, bleeds and blends together, because that's just what those kinds of monitors did, and that's how you saw it, it actually still looks fairly good.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to have to go try pixel perfect mode out in there. I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, I wouldn't really advise that. CRT mode, I think, is definitely the way to go. Anyway, really fun platformer.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the best on the system.
Coming in at number 13, we have Earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, it's quirky, it's charming. It is an excellent RPG, and there's really still nothing else like it. I mean, especially here in the U.S., where we have yet to be blessed with Mother 3.
Yeah, it's such a cool game. There's such a fun art style to it. Mm-hmm. If you haven't had a chance to play Earthbound yet, this device is almost worth the price of admission just to give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
Earthbound is a great RPG, super stylish.
I mean, the fact that it's a contemporary RPG as opposed to high fantasy or sci-fi is really neat. It's got a great sense of humor.
Yep. There's a character named Pooh.
Yes, there is. Although you can change all their names on all the characters, so I changed his name to Farty in my game.
You would.
I did not. That is a lie. Pooh got to stay Pooh, although I'm not really sure Farty is any worse. Okay, coming in at number 12, we have Super Mario Kart.
Mm.
I played this one for a little bit, and I couldn't help but think, wow, the Super Mario Kart series has come so far since this initial release. You know, seeing it in Mode 7 with all these flat textures that you're driving on just seems, you know, so crazy compared to the Mario Karts of today. That doesn't make it bad, but wow, you can really feel how much this series has evolved since this initial release.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? And not to mention, this is the first of that series. So, and not only the first of that series, but the first of the kart racing genre in general.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you really have to look at it and kind of just admire that they did all this without any, you know, previous knowledge of whether this was going to be a successful franchise or not.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it went on to just be gangbusters, really.
Well, I don't know if you've read the stuff that's been on Nintendo.com, but they posted interviews on there saying that this originally started as an idea for a two-player F-Zero game, and then it sort of evolved into a kart racing game because they wanted to slow it down, and then to make it recognizable, they put in the Mario characters.
I haven't read that one yet, but I kind of want to go check it out now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool to learn that stuff. There's lots of interesting tidbits on there.
Yeah, and this actually was kind of the precursor, in my mind, to the Nintendo DS. It has the... You don't have an option playing this game full screen. It's like always half because they want you to have the map on the lower half. So it's kind of funny how that works.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't really think about that. But yeah, that's true. You're totally right. Okay, on to number 11. We have Mega Man X.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about this one, Chris?
This game is super fun. I couldn't stop playing pretty much. I was planning to just play like one or two levels, and suddenly I had played through like more than half the game. It really cranks up the Mega Man formula with wall jumping, with better graphics, and with collectible upgrades that promote exploration. Yeah, I just think this one is fantastic, and really happy it was included on the Super NES Classic.
But when you play it, do you hold the controller funny?
I pretty much always play with one finger on the jump button and one finger on the shooting button, regardless if I'm playing Mega Man or anything else. It's handy.
When he says finger, he means finger. He's not talking about his thumb.
That's right. I use my index finger and my middle finger.
I need you to like take a picture of that and tweet it because I want people to be able to see what that looks like because it's a very unorthodox playing style, but with great results, I guess.
Yeah, for me, it's very effective.
Anyways, yeah, this is a great game. Great to have it on this collection. You know, it's good to see Mega Man represented properly.
Yes, for sure. And I feel like, you know, when it comes to Mega Man X, it never really got better than this.
Mm.
You know, when they tried to add to the formula, it's like, oh, let's just do more of this stuff.
Right.
It didn't really add more to the table.
Right.
It was cool that they kind of, you know, made it just complex enough, but still made it, you know, simple enough that it was really accessible. And it really works to the game's benefit. So, yeah, I just can't get enough of it.
Yep.
Okay, coming in at number 10, we have F-Zero.
Nice.
Pete, what do you think of this one?
I mean, it's good. It's similar to Mario Kart in a lot of ways. It's got the Mode 7 scaling. You got the cool sprites. It's kind of funny that like all the other characters are basically drones except for a handful.
Yep, just the four hero cars.
Yeah, and then I did read the Nintendo behind the scenes of this one,
mm-hmm.
and it was pretty interesting that Captain Falcon actually kind of started off as like almost the mascot for the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy to hear.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. But it makes sense. And, you know, I think the other interesting thing about this game is that when you really dial it back and you just think about the racing itself, there's almost no personality. It's just these cars. And then the addition of all the characters and like the background story of these different racers is actually kind of what made that game come to life. So it's interesting how they could do that, how they could make this game that almost feels very impersonal and kind of just like a racing game with no real characters. And then all of a sudden they kind of brought this whole world to life. It's pretty cool how they did it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that stuff is just in the manual, but even, you know, just from a gameplay perspective, just purely from the game, I'm surprised how much fun this game still is. I haven't played this one in forever.
Mm.
I mean, I think I pretty much, you know, played it, you know, right when it came out, and then after wiping out with a grievous, deadly injury on the fifth track in the Night League, I was unceremoniously retired and became a full-fledged F-Zero trainer, where I trained my brothers to great effect. But yeah, I haven't really played it much myself since then. And, you know, my tolerance for Mode 7 games has really gone down in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
But this is still really cool and really fun. And it really made me want to see an F-Zero comeback. I was really shocked that I was still able to get into it and still able to play it. And I'm glad that I've been able to recover from the trauma suffered in my horrible, agonizing death from all those years ago. And yeah, it's actually still really, really fun.
You know, I can't help but feel like it's like a Mode 7 tech demo, really.
In a way, yes. I mean, it's a great showcase.
Right.
But like I said, I think it still holds up remarkably well.
Yeah, it totally does. And again, so crazy that the characters came almost after the game was done.
Yeah, I mean, they are, you know, very much, you know, sort of an afterthought. They aren't there in the game. But, I mean, the music is so great.
Oh, man.
And the cities and the courses, you know, seem to have a lot of personality. So I think that kind of, you know, helps make up for it a lot.
Absolutely.
Also, you know, after we did our last episode about, you know, what games to start with, somebody asked about, you know, what F-Zero game would be good to start with. And, you know, I sort of implied that F-Zero X might be the place. But after playing this one again, I kind of think it might be this one.
So. I can see that. Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Yeah, still holds up pretty darn well. I was surprised. Okay, moving on. Number 9, we've got Contra 3, The Alien Wars.
Another game featuring Mode 7.
Yes, not quite as prominently and obviously, but it does have, you know, some really, really great moments, like that plane swooping down the first level.
Oh, yeah.
I guess the second and fifth levels, where you can rotate the entire level, there it is, really prominent. But yeah, there's lots of spinning bosses, spinning enemies that, you know, just do really cool, you know, rotation and scaling stuff, but it's not quite as necessarily in your face as some of the other games.
I gotta say, as far as apocalyptic games go, this is probably one of my favorite.
Well, it is a whole lot of fun, just blasting wave after wave of aliens. You know, it's got a great look to it. It's got cool power-ups. I mean, you can never go wrong with that spread gun. And it just got, you know, some crazy over-the-top levels, like on the fourth stage when you're riding missiles through the sky. It's just absolutely nuts. You know, really, right. Really cool bosses. And, you know, I can't wait to play it again in two-player mode. I haven't yet had a chance to do co-op on this game with the Super NES Classic, but that was always one of my favorite things to do in my youth. So hopefully yeah. I'll have a chance to do that again pretty soon.
This really feels like one of those games for guys who like games kind of thing, where it's just like macho overload. As you mentioned, they ride a missile and, you know... It's just, yeah, I mean, you have to play it to believe it, but it's a fun game and it still holds up today.
Yeah, that's another one that would be great if it made a comeback, but I'm not expecting that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
For now, this will certainly do. All right, on to number 8. We have Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars.
Mm-hmm.
This is another one where I haven't played it in a long time, and I kind of forgot just how darn fun it was.
Yeah.
But it's really, really enjoyable. I mean, it is kind of funny to see at the beginning when you don't really have any weapons and Mario's attacking people by punching them.
Yeah, totally.
You're just punching a Goomba in the face, punching a Koopa Paratroopa in the face. Sure, why not?
Sounds like my normal day.
The time button presses for bolstering your attack and defense is kind of weird and a little squishy and imprecise compared to like the modern Mario and Luigi games.
Yep.
But you can certainly see that this is where it all started. And, you know, by combining that action aspect with, you know, what's primarily a very traditional RPG, it ends up with something that's, you know, really, really fun and completely unique.
Yeah, and I think a part of the uniqueness comes from the isometric view that comes with this game. You didn't see a lot of games made by Nintendo, or I know this wasn't exactly, but...
Right, Square was the developer.
Yeah, the fact that it is in this different format, it makes it very graphically unique from these other games.
Plus, it has pre-rendered graphics, much like Donkey Kong Country, and so because of that, I would once again say this is a title that benefits from the CRT filter.
I could definitely see that, especially with that font.
Yeah, it's true. But regardless, it's just a really cool and different RPG, and I'm really glad to be able to play it again.
So I've confessed to this before, but I've never beat this one. I intend to now that I own it on this console.
I haven't done it in a long, long time. I've started up again a few times, but maybe this time I'll go back and take out Smithy once again. I remember he was pretty tough final boss, so we'll see how it goes.
Until we get Kingdom Hearts Nintendo style, this is what you get.
Yeah, I guess this is the next best thing. Right. Okay, once again, we have a tie. So coming in tied for number 6, first of all, we've got Super Punch-Out.
Mm-hmm.
As always, you know, the Punch-Out series is just super fun. You know, no pun intended. Yeah, it looks great. There's so much personality. I love the huge characters. Excellent, excellent sound effects. This is another one I haven't played in a while, but I was glad to discover that, you know, I kind of still had. I was able to jump in there and go through the first two leagues and was able to, you know, take out most of my opponents in, you know, nearly record-setting time. I just had a blast jumping in there and, you know, smacking around those opponents.
You mean Gabby J?
Yay.
Yeah, this game is still really fun, and I actually think in a lot of ways it's more inviting than the original Punch-Out. The first Punch-Out will really make you pay if you miss a shot here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But this one, it's a little bit more forgiving. There's a little bit more flexibility in your dodging. You can be a little less precise, I think.
Mm.
It definitely ramps up and gets harder towards the end. But it is also nice that you have that rewind feature to use on this. So, again, welcome addition to this lineup for sure.
Yeah, try not to abuse it too much, though. Okay, our other tied for number 6 entry is Super Castlevania 4.
Ah.
And I know I'm starting to sound like a broken record here, but this is another one I haven't played in ages, yet it is amazingly fun. It's like, what have I been doing? You know, I have this game on my 3DS, and I probably, you know, played it for all of 5 minutes. And it's like, why didn't I play this over and over again? Because, you know, it's just so much fun.
It is.
You know, it's got awesome music. It's got a great atmosphere. And, you know, you can do all that cool stuff with your whip. You can use it as, you know, sort of a shield and spin it around. You can use it to grapple. You can whip in 8 different directions. And then, of course, it's got all that cool, you know, Mode 7 stuff with the rotating rooms and the spinning backgrounds. And, yeah, I mean, I always knew that I consider this to be, you know, a really great, fun game. But it wasn't until I really sat down playing it again on the Super NES Classic that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's the difficulty level is just about right, where it's hard, but it's also not impossible, and you feel like every time you play it, you make a little more progress.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit more forgiving than with those titles on the NES.
Yep, and I got to have a side note here. The bugs in the beginning on the title screen, I had never seen one until I moved to the East Coast, and they are here. So I was like, wait a minute.
Weird trilobite-looking thing?
Yeah, yeah. They call them a house centipede.
Huh.
Google it if you want nightmares, I guess.
Great. Remind me to never visit you ever.
They're on my feet right now.
Gross. Okay, then. Coming in at number 5, we've got Street Fighter II Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
The classic one-on-one fighting game that was one of the reasons that the Super NES is so beloved. This version includes both Turbo and essentially Street Fighter II Champion Edition, which I had completely forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't want to have those new additions like Honda's Butt Smash and Chun-Li's Fireball, then you totally don't need to, and can just go into the normal mode. You still get to play as all the bosses and all the other 8 characters, but you have to worry about the super high speeds or some of those other new inclusions if you don't want.
Yeah, I immediately jumped into this game and tried to play through with Ken. Got the first round, I won handedly. Second round, just got destroyed.
Who were you fighting?
Fight 1 was versus Dalsim, and Fight 2 was versus Ryu.
Yeah.
And Ryu just decided to hand it to me.
It can be a little tough if you're out of practice, but fortunately, it's also very flexible when it comes to the difficulty modes. There are 8 difficulty settings, as well as plenty of other options. Of course, you know, one of the best things about this game is being able to play in versus mode, and you know, I haven't quite had a chance to do that yet either, but I'm looking forward to when I have the opportunity.
Yeah, this game makes the Super NES Classic worthy of, you know, transporting around, maybe taking it home for the holidays or something to beat up on your little brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to see some of my old high school buddies in a couple of weeks, and I will definitely make sure I have the system with me when I do that. Although, I should mention, even in single-player mode, it is still really, really fun.
Yeah, it really is. Stands up.
Okay, so we're down to the final 4 now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, you know, it was really tough for me to decide, you know, what order these games should go in, because basically, all of them I would give like a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. I mean, even maybe even Street Fighter 2, I would potentially give that a 10 as well. But
Yeah. I can't argue with you there. It's totally true. So, you know, it's hard to really nail down exactly, you know, which one is the best, but, you know, we're going to try. So, coming in ranked at number 4, we have Super Metroid.
It's a good choice.
This game has always been amazingly fun, but for me, it was especially cool to play this again after having just played through Samus Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing how the story all connects together is really, really cool, and the beginning of this game just has, you know, so much atmosphere to it.
Totally.
When you arrive on planet Zebes, and it's so creepy, and it's silent and empty and dead,
yep.
And then it comes to life.
It's like raining.
Yeah, the rain is really cool. But you know, you go back and you go through the area from the original Metroid. And that's mm-hmm. another thing that, you know, games don't often do, where they have this nostalgic callback.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, I remember this part. I blew the crap out of this when I played this game on the NES.
Right.
And so then you do the stuff down there, and then everything comes to life, and there's like space pirates. And it's like, oh crap, they're here and they're dangerous, and now everything is you know, kind of terrifying as well as really fun. So I just love the way that they do that stuff. I was kind of afraid I might suddenly miss the ledge grabbing or the 360 degree shooting that are in Samus Returns.
Yeah.
But no, it's still great the way it is. I still love it, and it is a masterpiece of conveying narrative without words, among many other things. Just such a fun game.
Well, it really is. And in the grand scheme of the Metroid franchise, I mean, you have to remember that the first one coming out, and then the second one being on Game Boy, and then this one coming out, this was such a step above the other two,
yes,
graphically,
yes,
and story-wise, and pretty much everything.
Having a map.
Atmosphere, having a map, and even the soundtrack was just even way more, you know, bumped up and in your face. There was, you know, way more stuff going on. It pretty much exceeds the previous games in the series entry so much on every level that it was just an amazing game, and it still totally holds up.
It does.
You almost could give this to somebody now who's not really played any games and be like, hey, you might enjoy this, and they could actually enjoy it, where I can't say that about a lot of games.
Yeah, it holds up really, really well. It's still absolutely remarkable. Okay, coming in next at number 3, we have Final Fantasy III.
Nice.
AKA Final Fantasy VI. And this is a game that I just couldn't stop playing on the Super NES Classic. It's been a while since I've played this one, but yeah, I spent like, you know, 9 or 10 hours playing this game, and I, you know, wasn't really expecting to, but I just love the story so much, and I love the variety of characters and their unique abilities. And I like that way that the story splits early on, so you learn about all the individuals and go on these different adventures with them before bringing them back. I still like the active time battle. It really keeps you on your toes. And I just feel like it set a standard for RPGs in so many ways, and actually, you know, still holds up in a lot of ways. I mean, obviously, graphically isn't one of them,
right?
But it's still, you know, really, really amazing. And all these years later, I'm still actually discovering new stuff. Like, I was in the basement of some house, and I discovered a hidden treasure chest that had a ribbon, which is the accessory that prevents all status ailments, you know, pretty early on in the game. And I had no idea that was there until this playthrough. So,
well, it also features one of maybe the best villains of all time in the Final Fantasy series.
Oh, yeah.
In Kefka.
Yeah, Kefka is an all-time evil psychopath.
He really is. There's just something really charming about the way his character's written and how he appears on the screen. I don't know. It still sticks with me today. So
I don't know if charming is a word I would use for him, but he's certainly a very memorable villain.
he's a charming little, you know,
I would say there's nothing charming about him. He is evil as it gets.
Well, maybe that's why we identify with each other.
One thing I would like to say, props to Nintendo for pulling this out on the game select screen and acknowledging it actually can be played as a two-player game, where you can set some of the playable characters to a second controller. And if you ever get the opportunity to play it that way, I suggest you definitely do it. It's really a great way to enjoy a game with people who might not otherwise enjoy RPGs or maybe even video games in general. Definitely worth giving a try.
Wow, I don't think I knew that.
Yep, it's there. And like I said, the two-player icon is even there on the Game Select screen, so you won't forget about it.
It's awesome.
Okay, here we come with number two, and it is Super Mario World. An all-time classic, an amazing platformer. This was the first game that I played when I fired up the Super NES Classic, of course, because, I mean, it's Super Mario World. It's the game that came with the system, and it's just, you know, platforming awesomeness through and through with just enough secrets and just enough exploration to keep things interesting without getting overwhelming.
Yep.
The addition of the cape was great, the addition of Yoshi was great, and every level is bursting with fun.
Yeah, it's almost hard to believe how much is just packed into this game. Like,
yeah.
Like when you start to like collect power-ups and like you know, you have firepower and you're riding a Yoshi and he's picked up, you know, a red Koopa Troopa in his mouth, and there's just like all these things going on when you compare it to like the original Super Mario Brothers, where you basically just have a few different states and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just surprises at every turn. There's literally every level there's something that can happen where you're just like, wow, I didn't expect that, or, you know, that's a character I've not seen before. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that brings us to number one. If you've been keeping track, this should be no surprise. It is The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about this game numerous times. We were just talking about it last week as a potentially great place to start if you're new to the Zelda series. So it's like, you know, what else more can we say? You know, I got chills the first time I played this game and was playing as Link and got up at night and was wandering around in the rain. And it still happens all these years later.
Yeah.
It's a perfect mix of puzzles and combat, as far as I'm concerned. It's got a great sense of pacing and progression. You know, a good-sized world to explore without ever becoming overwhelming. And, of course, it's got that dark world, light world play mechanic that you know, comes into play a few hours in. And it's so fun and so important.
Yeah, it really is just a great game through and through. It still totally holds up.
Oh yeah, it so does.
I think the Super NES in general allowed Nintendo to have a lot more atmosphere in their games, and it really just shines in a game like this. You know, Metroid to some extent, Super Mario World to some extent, but I think Legend of Zelda, same thing. It's like you said, chills in the first intro where you're kind of not really sure what's going on. It's thunder and lightning outside. You're kind of terrified. You don't even have a weapon yet.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And for me, it never gets old. I feel like I could play this one over and over and over again and always enjoy it.
Yeah, who's the professional wrestler that supposedly plays it every year?
Oh, that was Cody Rhodes. I don't know if that is still the case, but yes, we interviewed him in the pages of Nintendo Power because he wore a Triforce on his boots and made a point of playing this game every year regularly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that actually stuck with me because I feel like if there was a game that I would play through once a year, it could easily be this game.
Yep, totally understandable. Yeah, it just got so much good stuff going on. That's a totally fair thing to say.
And the bosses. I'd be remiss not to mention that the boss fights in this game are pretty epic as well.
Yeah, great bosses, you know, great tools that you acquire. You know, this is the first one that had the hookshot, which is my all-time favorite weapon.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much everything is, you know, kind of honed to perfection.
Yeah, so. And some enemies that really require some thinking about which item to use and how you're going to tackle them.
Yep, it's just fantastic all the way around.
Yes, it is.
And there you go. There is our ranking, our countdown of the 21 games included on the Super NES Classic.
We did it.
yes, we did. Hopefully, if you were able to get your hands on a system, you'll be able to play through all of them yourself and enjoy them as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
And I think with that, it pretty much brings this episode to a close.
But first...
That's right. Before we go, I do think we have time for one more thing, and that is a dramatic reading.
What do you got in store for us this week, Chris?
Now, I'm sure that everyone is very excited to get on with the adventures of Captain Nintendo from the pages of Nintendo Power magazine, but we're going to take a little detour this week and do a reading of the eShop description of the recent Switch release, Physical Contact Picture Place. The puzzle game called Number Place is difficult, but feeling of achievement when solved is very high. this game was improved to look good, easy to play, as it was, with the basic rules intact. That name is Picture Place. It is a game series where two people can play against each other. So, Ingenuity has been devised so that you can enjoy this game with two people. Any two partners, including parents, friends, and lovers, are suitable. If you use the handicap function, you can level the playing field. Because the match times are short, you can play anytime and anywhere whenever you feel like it. Of course, there is also a single player mode. Please enjoy it together.
What is that? Like, seriously.
I don't know, man, but don't you want to just go out and download that on your Switch now?
It's so poorly written that it is, like, it's almost intentional.
Somehow I doubt that, but boy, it really does feel like a throwback to the NES days of super duper really awkward translations. Yes, indeed it does.
Yeah, and if you own a Switch, go check this game out on the eShop and look at some of the screenshots that they're showing. It's kind of bizarre.
They're so bad.
Yeah, there's only like one.
It's like
that
all menu screens
looks
and stuff.
Like gameplay. And I don't even think it actually is gameplay. I think it's like the, you know, start screen or something.
I've actually seen some footage of this game. It actually doesn't look that bad. It's basically like a unique spin on Sudoku, mm-hmm. which I actually kind of like Sudoku.
Totally.
So, you know, that could be fun. But yeah, judging from this description and, you know, judging from the title, it sounds like it's the most pervy game ever. But I don't think that's actually the case. I think it's just a case of awkward translation.
One more time. What's the name?
Physical Contact Picture Place.
Yeah.
But I don't think there are any pictures of physical contact. I'm sorry to say.
Were you disappointed?
I take the fifth.
Now, Chris, I'd like to put out a request and throw it out to the interwebs. How about that?
Okay.
I would like to see if anybody would be interested in writing a piece of fan fiction involving Chris and I.
What?
Yeah. And then if we like it, you would read it out loud as one of this dramatic readings.
I think this is just asking for all kinds of horrible trouble, but I'm not going to stop you from making the request.
Well, I think some of our listeners would really be good at, you know, coming up with some story involving you and me and potentially me deleting your Final Fantasy VI save file. Maybe that's a plot point. Maybe, I don't know, maybe beards collide or something. I don't know.
This is nothing but asking for trouble.
I'd be interested to see if anyone has any thoughts out there.
Mm-hmm. All right, and with that in mind, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and that includes if you have some weird slash fiction written for Pete. And of course, if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud,
thanks for playing,
and my physical fitness instructor, E. Honda, we will see you next time.